Rosestad het 'n gedragskode geteken wat deur die Uitsaai Klagtekommissie van Suid-Afrika bekragtig is. Onder hierdie kode verbind ons ons tot die weergee van akkurate nuus, billike kommentaar en programme wat nie aanstootlik, onwelvoeglik of skadelik is nie. As jy dink ons nie aan die aanlyn kode voldoen nie, kan jy die Uitsaai Klagtekommissie van Suid-Afrika verwittig. Rig klagtes aan die Uitsaai Klagtekommissie van Suid-Afrika, posbus 412365 Craig Hall 2024 of stuur die e-pos aan bccsa@nabsa.co.za. Vir verdere inligting besoek www.bccsa.co.za.
Landbou Radio, so reg in jou kraal, met trots aan jou gebring deur Plaas Media.
Dis wat op jou wag in vandag se Landbou Radio. Die skaapherder Leon Kreer praat in sy Woensdag wenk oor die belangrikheid van 'n dier se temperatuur. Nelius Ferreira, voorsitter van Bosmara SA, beantwoord vrae oor dieras en die bedryf. Debbie Matteucci, voorsitter van die Suid-Afrikaanse Bioproduk Organisasie, vertel ons meer oor die werk wat hulle doen. En Dr. Geraldine Hergenrede, bestuurder van herkouernavorsing by Kemmen Industries, praat oor die belangrike rol van die spysverteringskanaal in diere gesondheid.
Farmer. When your Sunday best still has bits of wire in the pocket. When a quick coffee means drinking it cold with a calf in one hand and your phone on 2%. You know you're a farmer. When you fix the water pump with a bread bag and your dog ride shotgun more than your spouse. You farm through late payments and broken promises. And still, you keep farming. Because you're a farmer. You're made of grit, dust, diesel and duct tape. And a bit of blind faith. As much as you've grown your land and your farm, it's grown something in you too. Chat to your broker about Old Mutual Insure Agri Insurance. Protect what built you. Old Mutual Insure Limited is a licensed FSP and non-life insurer. Dis nie net 'n bakkie nie. Dis die nuwe Hilux Legend 55. Dis nie net nog 'n bekendstelling nie, maar 'n nalatenskap wat voortduur. Dis nie net 'n opgedateerde buiteontwerp nie, maar 'n stylvolle ontwerp met bestuiveringstaaf en toerol laai-ruim dekking. Dis nie net Legend 55 kentekens nie, maar legendariese eretekens. En jy is nie net 'n bestuurder nie, maar deel van ons gemeenskap, ons nalatenskap, ons legendes. Dis nie 'n bakkie nie, dis die nuwe Hilux Legend 55.
Wil jy graag jou gesondheid verbeter? Kom ons kyk bietjie na die fantastiese gesondheidsvoordele van varkvleis. Maar varkvleis is ideaal vir 'n aktiewe lewenstyl. Dis 'n pikbron hoë kwaliteit proteïene wat spierfunksie ondersteun. Dit kan help met die behoud van jou fisiese welstand en selfs bydra tot gesonde gewigsverlies. Studies het bewys dat 'n matige inname van varkvleis nie die risiko van hartsiektes of diabetes verhoog nie. 'N Slim keuse vir lekker eet. Ontdek heerlike resepte en meer feite by sapork.co.za. Spesiaal vir lekker bakke.
It's not pork, it's pork delicious.
Nou, soos altyd op 'n Woensdag, is dit tyd vir ons Woensdag wenk en die man wat die wenke uitdeel, staan bekend as die skaapherder. Sy regte naam is Leon Kreer en hy praat vandag oor die belangrikheid van 'n dier se temperatuur.
Goeiedag boere en boerinne en weer eens welkom hier by nog 'n Woensdag wenk. Vandag is ons weer hierso by die Vrystaat Landbou College se proefplaas afdeling en ek is gaan op hulle kudde hierso vir julle demonstreer. Ons het nou laas gepraat en gesê waarna kyk ons, want ek kry so baie navrae van julle. En dan sê die mense net die dier lyk nie lekker nie of die dier loop nie lekker nie. Nou as jy 'n paar goed in jou boerdery het, jy is net 'n skoop het en jy het 'n koorspie, dan kan jy baie beter idee vorm van wat mag moontlik die fout wees. Nou ons het laas keer gepraat van waar vat ons die longe, hoe beluister ons die longe, en ek het vir julle verduidelik hoe beluister ons die rumen. En nou hierdie week wil ek nou gaan verder gaan, nou wil ek vir julle wys, hoe, waar vat 'n mens die koors, en wat sê die koors van 'n dier? Waar vat jy die kosie, waar vat jy die temperatuur? En wat sê die temperatuur van 'n dier vir 'n mens? Wat kan ons daar uitwys word en hoekom is dit so belangrik dat ons dit moet weet? Nou, eerstens om koors te vat of om temperatuur te vat, het jy 'n koorspen nodig. Die kan 'n mens nou koop, hulle kos nie meer 'n fortuin nie, en hy het 'n mooi, ons kry die wat jy by die skaapherder self kan koop, het selfs 'n flexietip, so as die dier nou beweeg, dan maak dit nie sy rektum seer nie. Nou, boere en boerinne, die belang van om koors te kyk, as jylle nou hier agter kyk, op hierdie ooitjie kyk nou, dan wat sien jy? Jy sien sterkie. Ons sien nou hier is een dier wat nou maar is, en ons hoekom ons het nou wel temperature bepaal, maar wat sien ons? Ons sien net 'n sterkie hierso. Ons sien niks anders nie. Dit is eers, as ons nou, ek hulle nou net een bietjie rustiger maak, is nou eers as ons hierdie ster sal optel, dan kan ons sien wat gaan hieronder aan. Daar gaan 'n mens nou eers kan sien, is daar bosluis buite? Is daar enige abnormaliteite by die wilwa van die ooi? Want ons sien dit nie andersins nie. So daarom is dit een van die belangrike goed om koers te vat of temperatuur te bepaal, is ons sien daai areas wat ons nie altyd sien nie, sien ons nou raak. Nou, as ons 'n temperatuur vat, nommer 1, sit jou koerspen aan en maak seker jou koerspen kom aan. Want anders staan jy nou hier met jou vingers hier binnen in die ooitjie en daar gebeur niks. En dis nou ook maar nie vir hulle lekker nie. Dan tweedens, stel mens nou die stert op. Maar die mens wil hom nou nie op tot boorik nie. Onthou nou hier is sensitief. Hier is nie een gewrig nie. So mens bring hom eintlik maar meer kantwaarts, die stertjie. Dat jy nou net die rektum kan sien en dan in die rektum tot daar waar die blauw verby gaan. En daar kan jy nou die sterkie laat sak. En so hou mens om nou, dat jy die temperatuur kan bepaal. Nou, dit is nou nie 'n warm dag vandag nie, ek sien al die mense dra warm klere, so ek neem aan dis koelerig. As jy nou hier luister, kon dalk het hy, kon jy hom nou gehoor het, hy het piep 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 gemaak, en die piep 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 sê vir jou, die temperatuur is reg. En daar is sy temperatuur. 38.5 tot 39.5 tot selfs 40.5 is normaal temperatuur. Op 'n koel dag soos vandag, in die laat namiddag, nadat hulle nou water gedrink het, is 38.8 'n baie goeie temperatuur. So dit sê nou net vir my, hierdie ooi het glad nie 'n koors nie, so ek hoef nou nie verder daaroor te bekommer nie. Wat so siektes kry ons met 'n koors? Julle wat in die hartwater area boer, hartwater, gee 'n koors. Slengtaal koors, gee 'n koors. Bloutong, gee 'n koors vir die diere. Ons kry nie so baie by die ander nie. Baie mense sê longontsteking, maar nie regtig nie. En dan kry ons 'n koue temperatuur, hipotermie, by die lammertjies. Dan is die temperatuur onder 37 na 36 na 35 toe. En ooie wat melkkoors het, net voordat hulle komatoos raak, dan gaan hulle temperatuur onder 35 grade Celsius. So daarom is dit belangrik, ons vat nie net die koors te meet nie, ons wil koue koors ook meet met hierdie. Ek hoop julle het hierdie wenk geniet, en ek hoop dit reën en dit raak mooi by julle weer binnekort, en ons praat weer volgende week.
Jy luister na Landbou Radio.
My volgende gesprek is met Nelius Ferreira, voorsitter van Bonsmara SA. Nelius, baie welkom by Landbou Radio. Hoe gaan dit met die Bonsmara bedryf?
Dit gaan baie goed met Bonsmara SA en met sy teelers reg oor Suid-Afrika, selfs tot in Suidelike Afrika. Ons as Bonsmara's hou maandeliks opleidings reg oor Suid-Afrika wat insluit opleiding vir ons eie teelers of opleiding vir kommersiële en opkomende produsente wat baie goeie opkoms elke keer het met baie goeie belangstelling.
Hoe positioneer die Bonsmara Raad hulle self in die stoetbedryf?
Ons fokus is die betroubaarheid van die produk Bonsmara. By Bonsmara SA en sy raad het ons sterk en goeie verhouding met SA Stamboek, wat saam met ons werk daagliks aan die betroubare syfers en om syfers en ons goeie Bonsmara unieke katalogus so eenvoudig en prakties as moontlik op die tafel neer te sit. Ons fokus ook op ons keringstelsel en die korrektheid van ons seleksies deurlopend, deur ons unieke Bonsmara keringstelsel. En dan is Bonsmara se sterk fondasie oor dekades gebou op sy goeie integriteit en die handhaving daarvan.
Nielies, hoekom bly die Bonsmara nog steeds die voorkeur ras onder kommersiële teelers?
Tot op hede, in die bulveiling seisoen, wat amper tot die einde is, het Bonsmara se gemiddelde op bulle amper 10% hoër as in 2024 gerealiseer, ongeag al die uitdagings in die vleisbedryf in Suid-Afrika. Kommersiële vroulike diere verkoop ook baie goed en bly ongelooflik gewild onder kommersiële teelers, omdat die Bonsmara ras 'n goed geselekteerde en geteelde moederlynras is.
En dan ten slotte moet ons net hieroor vra, wat is die impak van Back and Claw hier op julle bedryf?
Die Back and Claw het 'n geweldige invloed op die vleisbedryf in Suid-Afrika. Waaroor ons bitter bekommerd moet wees en die staat het die bedryf geweldig geval. Maar dit kom ook al etlike jare. Nou is ons in 'n posisie waar ons regtig diep en ver gevorder is met die verspreiding van die siekte. En is totaal en al buite beheer. Bonsmara SA se posisie bly steeds sterk en ons het aan die bedryf ons misnoë en ons behoefte per brief gestuur om te vra dat hulle daadwerklik planne op die tafel sit wat werkbaar is. En ons glo en vertrou onder die leiding van RMIS en die hele bedryf wat uiteindelik sterk saam gespan het en saamgekom het om oplossings te vind vir hierdie probleem. By Bonsmara SA soek ons net eenvoudig 'n paar praktiese goed. Ons soek enstof om te oorleef, dit beteken ons wil ons diere ent, sodat ons die diere hoef te slag nie. As jy net kan gedink dat hoeveel etlike jare se goeie seleksie op stoetbeeste in die bedryf nie eenvoudig net geslag kan word as 'n stoetkudde of 'n paar stoetkuddes Back and Claw onderlede het nie. Die regering en sy departement wat verantwoordelik is vir beheerbare siektes in Suid-Afrika moet saam die private sektor werk. Daar is geen keuse nie. Die vleisbedryf behoort aan almal in Suid-Afrika en dis die landboubedryf wat oral aangetref word in elke uithoek van Suid-Afrika en 'n goeie samewerking veral deur 'n werkbare private sektor wat hulle hand al vir geruime tyd uitsteek om die staat te ondersteun moet toegelaat word en spoedig toegelaat word om enstof te vervaardig. Die nuwe enstof moet op die rakke kom sodat alle produsente daarvan kan koop en aan hulle kuddes kan toedien. En ons moet gereeld hoor van die bedryf af wat in beheer is saam met die staat rondom die Back and Claw. Wat is hulle aksieplanne? Ons wil weet waarmee is hulle besig? Wanneer gaan hulle wat reg kry? Ons wil nie net hoor elke maand 'n verslag van hier is nog 'n uitbraak en dis hoeveel uitbrake daar is nie. Ons weet daar's uitbrake, ons weet daar's baie uitbrake. Maar wat is die aksieplan om dit te stuit en wat is die tydlyn van 'n nuwe enstof? Is dit einde van 2025 of moet ons wag vir nog 2 jaar? Die enstof wat ons invoer van Botswana is klaarblyklik ook 'n ou enstof en is nie so effektief nie. En ons wil ook hoor, is daar iemand al wat al reeds bezig is om een nieuwe gefundeerde eindstof te vervaardig? En is daar toestemming vir hulle gegee? En bou 'n bietjie gerustheid by al ons teelers en vleisprodusente van Suid-Afrika. Nie net Bonsmaras nie, die hele land. Wil graag weet, wat gaan aan en waar lê ons met aksieplanne?
Die man wat so gesels is Nelius Ferreira, voorsitter van Bonsmara SA. Nou Debbie Matehuchi is die voorsitter van die Suid-Afrikaanse Bioprodukorganisasie of SABO. Wie is SABO en wat presies doen hulle? Ek het met haar gesels.
Debbie, can you tell us more about the South African Bioproduct Organization?
Sure. We are a representative body for the full value chain of stakeholders within the agricultural bioproduct industry of South Africa. We're a non-profit organization that represents the manufacturers, wholesalers, distributors, researchers, students, users of bioproducts, grow organizations, and even our retailers within the biological sphere in agriculture in South Africa.
Debbie, why was SABO created and who are the main stakeholders involved?
So SABO was created in the early 2010s, and it was created by a number of stakeholders that felt that there needed to be a voice that was championing the natural products in South Africa. Bioproducts are different to our synthetic pesticides in terms of not only their origin, but how they are used within the grower context. And there became a need for an organization that handled this with sufficient expertise and, dealt with driving their use within the South African agriculture. So some of our key stakeholders are those that are manufacturers within the industry, but also users and our distributors, our researchers, all of those working towards this new type of technology and how that it is implemented into agriculture.
Debbie, what are some of the key challenges SABO is addressing in the agricultural sector?
So our growers currently are under a lot of pressure from various angles to adjust the way that they are farming. So we have a lot of pesticides which are being banned by our regulators and by our export countries because they are hazardous chemicals or they just don't want such high levels of pesticide residues. As a result, our growers are being forced to farm differently. There is also a greater pressure to farm more sustainably and have a lower impact on the environment and then have healthier food for our consumers at the end of the day and having a lower impact on those that apply crop protection products. And this is solved through a system of sustainable agriculture or integrated pest management, which makes use of a number of core pillars, one of them being biological products and low hazard solutions. And so SABO is driving the use of those products and how they would fit into an integrated management program so that we can assist our growers with the transition to a safer, more sustainable agriculture.
Yes. What challenges do growers face when adopting biological products and how is SABO helping to overcome them?
So with any growing industry, there are often many non-compliant, non-research products that end up in the market. And it's very important that our growers are exposed to and sold products that are well researched and well regulated so that they can have trust in the products that they are using, so that they know that they will perform in line with what the label says they perform. And for that reason, SABO works very closely on the compliance sector as well as the regulatory side of bioproducts, trying to ensure that the products that get to market are those that have the best qualities for the grower. Some of the other challenges that they face is that they are not typical synthetic chemicals. So they do, you don't always apply them in the same way or with the same mindset. And so it becomes a need for a mindset change and an adoption in how to farm, which is can pose some real difficulties for a grower. So Sabo is trying to assist with this transition by, you know, providing some tools to the grower to understand what byproducts are, how they work, and how to use them within an integrated system. Because we are coming from an independent perspective, we are less biased than a person trying to sell you a product. And so, therefore, we are able to give a more of an independent view of how to use these products at the end of the day.
Yeah. Debbie, how can biological products help growers reduce reliance on hazardous synthetic chemicals?
So making use of them in key points is very important. We have our biostimulants and our biofertilizers, which help with your soil health and fertility, and a healthier soil leads to a stronger plant, and a stronger plant is more tolerant to small stresses. And then if you get to larger stresses, there is still a need for our synthetic pesticides under heavy pressure conditions. However, the byproducts can insert themselves into certain parts of a management program closer towards harvest where residues are important, or within the system where you're sort of maintaining or extending the control of synthetic pesticides, or they sort of form a base population that can protect the crop while the pesticide is not being applied.
Debbie, why should growers consider switching to biologicals now rather than later?
So we know that the consumers are already demanding a shift to more sustainable practices and the use of lower hazard products. This transition takes time, and there's a lot of different stages, and these are very farm-specific predominantly. And so we are encouraging our growers to start the journey because it will take time for the system to be set up nicely on their farms. As we say, like, it's not a one size fits all scenario. You need to consider what's going on your farm, the pest pressure on your farm, and making that shift takes time. So before we lose a large portion of our pesticides, we know by 2035 there's a number of additional pesticides that will be banned by our regulatory authorities. So, you know, that leaves us with 10 years where we can start the journey so that we don't get caught later into the game not being able to farm adequately.
Yeah. How can growers get involved with Sabo and benefit from its initiatives?
So we have a very great LinkedIn page and our website, and we run monthly free webinars that our growers can attend, mainly just there to provide some education on various aspects of sustainable agriculture and bioproducts. And then we do offer membership to our growers also through our grower associations, just providing the growers then with some further information about the industry, what compliance looks like so that they can be aware of how to spot the compliant products versus the non-compliant products. And then, of course, we have our BioAlliance event coming up later this year and various workshops which we hold on the different types of bioproducts.
Yeah. Can you tell us more about that BioAlliance SA Brazil event?
Yes, so that's an exciting event that's on the 5th and 6th of November this year, and it is a bilateral conference between Brazil and South Africa. We're inviting key stakeholders from Brazil to come to South Africa for a wonderful two-day event, and there will be people from their governments, there will be Brazilian growers, Brazilian manufacturers, and various other stakeholders, then we will have our South African counterparts where we will have government officials. We want our growers there, researchers, manufacturers, distributors. So we would like to get all of these stakeholders engaged as we join in a conference to discuss the different aspects of bioproducts within agriculture and how we can use these to the benefit of all parties.
Can you give us an overview of what attendees can expect, particularly growers?
Yes, so day one is focused mainly towards our different challenges from a policy perspective and a financing perspective. These are various barriers that are stopping the adoption of sustainable agriculture. And so we are trying to initiate discussions around finding ways to incentivize our growers and assist them in making the transition so that they can find a good, valuable output of sustainable agriculture that's not only yield-driven, because we know, obviously, yield is not always the only outcome of a good farming system. So we are trying to inspire and create those discussions on day one. And day two is focused more towards understanding biologicals, where we will also get excited about the future trends and breaking down to the basics of what bioproducts are, what they look like, how to start an IPM program, and also a fantastic discussion with some of our retailers and our international exporting bodies in terms of what they are looking for and why they are looking for the shift to bioproducts.
Debbie, day two of the event includes trial demonstrations. Can you explain what these are and why they are valuable for growers?
Yes, so in our afternoon slots, we've set up some trials where we can actually see bioproducts in action. And this is because we'd like growers to be able to see for themselves what you can expect when you're using bioproducts. There's a beautiful visual demonstration of the impact of using biofertilizers and biostimulants, and also what some of our semiochemicals and macroorganisms look within a permanent crop setting. And that will just help them to understand what exactly one can expect and achieve from using bioproducts. We're also going to have some demonstrations from our major stakeholders within the industry that you definitely don't want to miss out on.
Debbie, how can our listeners register for the event?
Great. So you can go to our LinkedIn page, our South African Bioproducts Organization LinkedIn page, or you can send us an email at info@sabo.org.za.
Dit was Debbie Matehuchi, voorzitter van die Suid-Afrikaanse Bioprodukorganisasie of SABO. Dr. Gerilyn Hergenrede, bestuurder van herkouer navorsing by Kemmen Industries, was 'n spreker op Kemmen en Zoetis se tweede jaarlikse voerkraaldag in Parys. Sy het gepraat oor die belangrike rol van die spysverteringskanaal in diere gesondheid.
Dr. What's the topic that you addressed today and the key message?
The key is the importance of our GI tract and the intestinal health, and the fact that we go beyond the rumen and the permeability and what we're getting in the digesta and how the microbiota and our overall gut health can actually influence the health of our animals, fighting pathogen infections like BRD and what it's going to do to that nervous system and overall just the overall health and performance that these animals can experience, and how it all really does stem from our GI tract, largely that small intestine, and what the immune response is in that aspect.
What leads to problems, gut problems, in feedlots?
A variety of things can lead to gut problems. We can start with weaning stress, transportation stress to the feedlot. They're in a new environment, commingling with those animals. once you get over that stress, it can be when you change your diet. Is the new feed moldy? Is there something going on with it that you don't realize is going on with it? Did your feed truck break down and you're getting those animals fed later than they possibly were? Are your water tanks clean? Just what's going on with that animal? Is it a new implant season? Are you starting your beta agonist? A variety of things can play into their overall stress, gut health, and how it's going to affect them.
And then what's your typical symptoms?
Typical symptoms will be the decreased feed intake. You might see them with their heads down, their ears droopier, more mucosal, runny noses, just an overall kind of sadder looking cow than what they normally would be.
Diarrhea?
Diarrhea can definitely be in there and one of the symptoms that leads from leaky guts and stress.
So, doctor, if you see symptoms of this nature in animals, what's next?
A lot of the times you're going to pull them and take their temperature and see, do you need to treat them? Do they need an antibiotic? What do you need to do to help these animals get over anything? They're going to be immunosuppressed and more open to any sort of infection that might affect them. It's just, it's the determinant of what's going to go on and what symptoms those animals are showing and what their temperature is going to be.
What's some of the other key factors in your presentation that's important to note?
It's how the stressors really affect those animals and the systems that do it, of a lot of the immune cells that are activated, how that's going on in that tissue breakdown, our immunosuppression due to cortisol release and having more insulin resistance, and just what's happening in those overall animals in that entire system, and seeing that entire system and putting it together.
So, doctor, is there precautionary measures that producers can take?
There are precautionary measures. Weaning stress is always going to be one of our bigger stresses in animals. Are you doing it fence line weaning? Are you weaning those cattle and putting them right on the truck? You're going to have a lot more suppression there. That comes more from the cow-calf guy. As soon as you get to the feed yard, inspecting your feeds, making sure they're good, you don't have any molds or anything else that's going in them, making sure your water sources are clean. But then we play with Mother Nature in our beef cattle industry, and we can't avoid Mother Nature. We don't know when storms are coming. We don't know when there's going to be a heat stress event, cold event, rain causing mud. And so then it's just playing that game of how do we manage those cattle? Can we change something nutritionally to help them through those stressful periods and what's going on with them? But that's the fun one we get to play with, is Mother Nature beyond when we get them past a lot of those stressors that they experience in their early life.
So feed intake plays a very important role, doctor.
Yes, it does.
Once an animal shows symptoms, what's the next step to be taken then?
Once they show symptoms, in our industry, the animals will get pulled, isolated, they'll get their temperature taken. If they're exceeding the ideal temperature, depending on their life and what the vet says, they'll get treated with whatever medication they need to be treated with. They might stay in the sick pen for a few days, hopefully get them over that, get them back onto their intake before they re-enter into their home pen. And so upon seeing that sick animal, they're more than likely going to be removed from their pen, and then it's up to the vet and how they're going to treat and move forward to get that animal back to where they should be to be able to enter back into their home pen and hopefully go on to finish their feeding life cycle.
So, doctor, the takeaway message of your presentation?
Takeaway message is probably going to be gut health, and that permeability is playing an overall larger role in the overall health of the animal than what we probably realized in the past. And now we actually do have nutritional products that can help and assist those animals get through those stressful periods.
And in those nutritional products, it's a combination of minerals.
Yes, minerals, probiotics, short chain fatty acids. What are you feeding to those animals? What's supplying to them? And what's getting them through? Customizing it to each part of or each life of that animal and where they're going to be most useful.
Dit was Dr. Geraldine Hergenrede, bestuurder van herkouernavorsing by Kemmen Industries, wat met Christelies Miller gepraat het.
Soek jy 'n lekker idee vir ete wat ook gesond is? Daar's niks soos die sappige smaak en veelsidigheid van varkvleis nie. Jy kan roerbraai maak, chops of varkfillet in die pan doen, of hoendgebraaide varkbout maak. Vergeet van Tuka se tyd se bangmaak stories oor varkvleis. Ons moderne varkvleis bied jou bykwaliteitsnitte wat veilig en vol voedingswaarde is. Dis propvol vitamine en minerale en die goeie kwaliteit proteïene help om jou liggaam gesond te hou. Sit 'n paar varkvleisnitte sommer vandag nog op jou inkopieslys, spesiaal vir lekker bekke.
It's not pork, it's porkalicious.
Net soos landbou die ruggraat van Suider-Afrika is, so is Business Accounting Network, BAN, die ruggraat van boere in Suider-Afrika. Vir finansiële state, BTW-opgawes, sakeplanne en nog vele ander finansiële dienste. Ons kan jou nie reën beloof wanneer daar 'n droogte is nie, maar ons kan jou beloof dat ons begrip van belastingwetgewing jou geld in die langtermyn sal spaar. Vir meer inligting skakel Jolene by 082-789-2192 of per e-pos jolene@ban.co.za of gaan besoek die webblad ban.co.za. Business Accounting Network. Ons neem jou besigheid vorentoe.
Dis al vandag se landbou radio. Baie dankie vir die inskakel. Groetnis van my, Limarilou.